بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Yesterday we went through the narration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's joy at us repenting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness more than 70 times a day. What was the reason of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's repentance, and what does that signify for us? I mentioned yesterday. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sinless. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةِ. I turn to him and seek forgiveness more than 70 times a day. What was the reason I mentioned yesterday? وَمَا وَجْهُ ذَلِكَ عفوا. One that he's made an example of. That if he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is sinless, is doing this, what does this mean for his ummah? One. Another thing. That's for the ummah. That is ta'aliman al-ummah. To teach the ummah. There's another thing that he himself, why is he doing it for himself also? Shukran lillah.
Yeah, and another thing as well. If you don't concentrate on the salat,
Why did Rasulullah had concentration? He had the concentration. Why would Rasulullah
say? If you miss some time, he
still be a staff. Yes, now. Ma'asum. Can Rasulullah say ma'asuman? فما وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الاستغفار كان يستغفر أكثر من 70 مرة. ما وجه ذلك؟ Mentioned yesterday that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is humility. That the spiritual elevation, the taqarrub a servant can gain through tawbah is immense. And istighfar, why? Because a servant shows humility in there. One, you'll see many times, somebody will do something wrong and they'll justify their actions. For example, somebody does ghibah and he'll say, well, I can say it to his face anyway. That's not the definition of ghibah. Ghibah is saying, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. It's not about if you have the jur'ah, if you have the courage to say it to your brother or not. That's not the definition of ghibah. Ghibah is to mention your brother, any other believer or any other person, in a manner in which he dislikes. So people, they justify their actions. If they justify their actions, they're not going to seek istighfar. So istighfar is a way of gaining immense closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's istighfar was out of humility, thinking, من اعتقاده أنه كان قاصرا في عبوديته وإن كان لا وليس كذلك. It wasn't like that. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's belief was that in my servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have shortcomings, where he didn't. But this type of humility, a person gains immense closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what istighfar provides for us. The worst thing, amongst the worst things that can happen to a slave is that he thinks, I don't need to do tawbah because I'm not committing sins. That is one of the worst things a person can do. Because in one, he's not recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right. He's not recognizing that. Two, he is what we call jahlun murakkab. There's compounded ignorance. He doesn't know that he's doing something wrong. We are doing things wrong in our lives daily. But it's just the fact that sometimes we don't recognize it to be a sin because we don't have the knowledge. We don't have the ilm to know that what we're doing is wrong. So that is one of the things of turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned something, that what can we start doing in our daily lives to bring this in? I mentioned one thing yesterday. Yeah. That one action that we can start doing daily.
Istighfar after salat?
No. Like okay, after every salah, we do istighfar three times. In Arabic. In Arabic, what I'm trying to say is, what are we doing daily? What can we do daily? فما نعمل عملا كل يوم لحصول ذلك في حياتنا لحصول الاستغفار ولتحصيل الاستغفار والتوبة في كل يوم. ما شاء الله. ما شاء الله. 100 times. 100 times. ما شاء الله. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَاللَّهِ يَا أَيُّ النَّاسُ تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ فِي الْيَوْمِ 100 مَرَّةٍ فَعَلَيْنَا أَن نُكْثِرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَعَلَيْنَا أَن نُكْثِرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. It's a little responsibility that we do more than 100 times, but at the minimum, أَقَلُّ مِنْ أَن نَفْعَلْ كُلَّ يَوْمِ مئة مرات من التوبة والاستغفار. أي استغفر الله وأتوب إليه. Every day, 100 times minimum. Again, they say 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. But let's target 100 times daily. That's 20 times after every salah. And obviously, we have the three istighfar that we do. But additionally, especially what they generally say is when you're on your bed at night. We'll go through this one day, not today, another time, of muhasaba. Muhasaba is a type of accountability, where you take yourself to account at night. We'll go through that one day, inshallah. Just not, yeah.
Especially,
Aydan, fil ashar.
Fil
ashar, or fun? Fil. So one is, in the morning, so meaning tahajjud time, at time of tahajjud, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, His mercy descends, and He says, مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, who's going to ask of forgiveness of me, so I can forgive him. But muhasaba at night, before you go to sleep, keep this ma'amul that you do some form of istighfar and tawbah, where you think that what have I done during the day? Inshallah, we'll spend more time on that in the future. But at the moment, target for 100 times daily, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Today's narration, inshallah, إن الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions إن الله تعالى يبسط يده بالليل ليتوب مسيء النهار ويبسط يده بالنهار ليتوب مسيء الليل حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها رواه مسلم. And the next narration, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تاب قبل أن تطلع الشمس من مغربها تاب الله عليه رواه مسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said Allah تعالى extends His hand at night so that the sinner of the day may turn to Him in repentance. And He extends His hand in the day so that the sinner of the night may return to Him in repentance. This continues daily till the sun rises from the west, i.e. before the day of resurrection. The next narration is, whoever turns in repentance before the sun rises from the west, Allah Ta'ala shall accept his repentance. Both these ahadith, both signify... Both these ahadith signify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, the narration is metaphorical, is majazi. يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extending His forgiveness to us at night so that the person who commits sins during the day can seek forgiveness at night. During the day, so the person who sins at night can seek forgiveness during the day. What this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a search and there's a hunt to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing this. لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ اللَّيْلِ. All the way to the extent حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا, until the sun rises from the west. Meaning, until the sign of Qiyamah is shown, until the actual sign is shown, a person has the opportunity to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah mentions that whoever turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his forgiveness. Meaning this is a promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive us. It's just about us taking that step. Ta'aballahu alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, so long as it's before the sun rises from the west. Meaning that's the sign wherein now you know Islam is the truth. Up and now, during our lifetime, there's an element of belief. We accept the truth. When that happens, that's when reality has now hit. For example, the next narration mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah, the repentance of a slave, so long as his soul doesn't reach his throat. Because when the soul reaches the throat, is when he can see the unseen. At that point, he can now see the unseen. The test is no longer a test. Just like some scholars mention that Fir'aun then eventually mentioned حتى إذا أدركه الغرق, when he was at the point of غرق, when he was drowning and he could then see the unseen, he says آمنت. He was now, I believe. And then the angel said, الآن وقد عصيت من قبل. Now you believe, when you have lived an entire life of transgression, now you've seen the unseen, the test is no longer a test. You've seen the unseen, now it's no longer a test. Similar, when the sun will rise from the west, it's no longer a test, because that's when the reality, the day of resurrection, etc., will all begin from there. Then life is no longer a test, and the Quran, etc., the masahif will all disappear, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept so long as life remains a test. Our test is during this lifetime, before the unseen, do we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein He's going to, ta'aballahu alayhi, where He's going to accept our tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive. It's just about us making that, taking that opportunity to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala... the next one's a lengthy narration. Everyone has time or stop there? Yes. People need to go? Said, he goes that a believer is never satiated of goodness. He's always searching for more. It's a simple narration. I'll summarize it. So if you need to go, you can go. I'll summarize the narration wherein it's about a person who the angels, when a person sets out for knowledge, the angels, all the angels in the sky and the fish in the sea, all make dua of maghfirah for that person. And then the sincerity is also in this hadith, and it's going to talk about al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, the person will be with the person he loves. So summarizing the narration, عن زيد بن حبيش رضي الله عنه أنه قال أتيت صفان بن عسال رضي الله عنه أسأله عن المسح الخفين فقال ما جاء بك يا زيد فقلت ابتغاء العلم فقال إن الملائكة تضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم رضا بما يطلب فقلت إنه قد حك في صدري المسح على الخفين بعد الغائط والبول وكنت امرأ من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجئت أسألك هل سمعته يذكر في ذلك شيئا؟ قال نعم كان يأمرنا إذا كنا سفرا أو مسافرين ألا ننزع خفافنا 3 أيام ولياليهن إلا من جنابة لكن من غائط وبول ونوم فقلت هل سمعته يذكر في الهوى شيئا؟ قال نعم كنا مع رسول الله في سفر فبينا نحن عنده إذ ناداه أعرابي بصوت له جوهري يا محمد فأجابه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحو من صوته هاء فقلت له ويحك أغضض من صوتك فإنك عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد نهيت عن هذا فقال والله لا أغضض فقال أعرابي المرء يحب القوم ولما يلحق بهم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب يوم القيامة فما زال يحدثنا حتى ذكر بابا من المغرب مسيرة عرضه أو يسير الساكب في عرضه 40 أو 70 عاما قال سفيان أحد الرواة قبل الشام خلقه الله تعالى يوم خلق السماوات والأرض مفتوحا للتوبة لا يغلق حتى تطلع الشمس من رواه الترمذي وغيره وقال حديث حسن صحيح. Zir narrates, I went to Safwan ibn Asal radiallahu anhu to ask him about the ruling regarding Mas'al al-Khufayn, meaning passing wet hands over the leather socks. He asked me, why have you come? Oh Zir, I replied, to seek knowledge. He said, surely the angels spread out their wings for the seeker of knowledge in order to show their pleasure to what he is seeking. Meaning the angels are showing us acceptance for that individual. I said to him, the ruling with regards to us, Mas'al al-Khufayn, after passing, I'll summarize this because it gets quite complicated, that after passing urine and stool, so long as it's not janaba, it's not ejaculation or intercourse, or he's had a wet dream, so long as it's not been any of those, then a person can do Mas'al al-Khufayn. There's a normal wudu, then passes on the leather socks, or the equivalent of leather socks. You can get waterproof socks nowadays, provided there are about 5 conditions. Remind me the thing, there are 5 conditions. One of them is you can walk 3 miles in them, meaning the thick socks. 2, they are thick enough that water doesn't seep through when you put water on them. 3, they keep their position upright, meaning you're not having to tie it. Like if you get a plastic bag, you have to tie it on your thing. It's none of that. It has to remain. It has to be sturdy enough that it keeps its position. It stays upright. And those are the main 3. You can find them. That if you go into Amazon, DAKY socks, the normal socks, but they're much thicker, that you can do mas'ah on them. They find many of them. A lot of these companies, they even have they have something written Sharia compliant or mas'ah compliant. They actually have it written on there. So if you're working and you don't want to put your foot in the sink, then you could do mas'ah on like that.
You say regarding for mas'ah, is that you have to have an excuse or just
so
if you are in a mosque.
So you
there is hot water, there is tank, so you can still do mas'ah.
Yeah, so you can do mas'ah, but they need to be those specific socks. They need to be leather.
أو ما مقام
الخف أي الجورب ثقيف. It needs to be thick. It needs to be thick. I'll show you later on some of the examples where they can be thicker, where they're waterproof, things like that. You can walk a certain distance without them. It needs to be something that has to be in the maqam of khuf. It has to represent khuf. Khuf are the leather socks. That which is similar, meaning leather doesn't allow water to seep through. Leather is thick enough that it's not going to break within 3 miles. Leather is also something which keeps its position. So something that has to fulfill those same conditions has to be used. So those khuf that... Yeah, so those thick socks that water can't seep through. If you remind me, I'll show you to you, inshallah. So you don't have to have an excuse. Again, it's more rewarding to take them off and do it. If you're a musafir, you're a traveler, more than 48 miles, you can wear it for 3 days and 3 nights. If you're staying within your city or within 48 miles, then you maximum 1 day and 1 night. 24 hours. Meaning you have to wear it with complete wudu. You need to have wudu first and then wear them. And you have to make sure you don't take them off. If you break wudu, you go to the toilet. If you take them off, then you have to wash your feet. So you have to make sure you do not remove them in the state of hadath, in the state of impurity. So if you ever want to remove them, make sure you have wudu and then you remove them. Otherwise, if you remove them, your wudu breaks altogether. And then you have to wash your feet again. So this was about that. And Rasulullah, he explained that yes, it exists for the, and especially when you're musafir. And then he eventually asked, did you hear Rasulullah ﷺ saying anything about love? So he said, yes. We were on a journey with Rasulullah ﷺ. When we were with him, a Bedouin, Bedouins were known for their harsh temperament. You know, some people who are uncultured or they're sometimes from the villages, they don't have the same tarbiyah, they're not lived in the city, so they don't have the same mannerisms. So the Bedouin, same thing then. The Bedouin with a loud voice came out and said to Rasulullah ﷺ, O Muhammad. It's a prohibition. You can't refer to Rasulullah as Ya Muhammad. Do not call Rasulullah as you call yourselves. Meaning, you call Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasulullah. You do not say that. But the Bedouin was a Bedouin. He said, Ya Muhammad. The Messenger of Allah replied to him in a similar voice, saying, Here I am. The Bedouin said, another Sahabi said, Woe unto you, lower your voice. For you are in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have been prohibited from raising your voice. It's impermissible to raise your voice in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "By Allah, I won't lower my voice." The temperament was very different of the Bedouin. The Bedouin then addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "What do you say about a person who loves the people but has not yet joined them? Meaning, he loves the Islam, he loves the people, but he's not amongst them yet." He's not living amongst them. Rasulullah ﷺ then said, A person shall be with those whom he loved on the day of resurrection. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ continued talking to us. Eventually he mentioned a door in the west whose width is, or a rider will travel, a width is 70 years. Sufyan, the narrator, said, This door is towards Syria. Allah Ta'ala created it the day he created the heavens and the earth. It is open for repentance. It will not be shut till the sun rises from the west. Again, that was to signify that a person will be with those whom he loves, meaning that we make sure that our love, our company, is always with the pious and righteous. A person will be with those whom he loves. And love isn't something which you say from the tongue, it's something with your actions. It's something shown, that how do I dress, how do I talk, how do I conduct myself? When the time of salah comes, what do I do? What do I give preference to? How I'm perceived in society or my religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Again, just a quick thing, that 100 times we target, inshallah, 100 times daily, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, 100 times daily. Especially before we go to sleep, just create something wherein I can think of what I've done wrong and I do istighfar from there. That's called muhasabah, it's called accountability, where you take yourself to account. Inshallah, I'll expound on that in the future sometime, inshallah.